Hi, welcome to Module 15 of SQL Server Essentials for Oracle DBAs. In this module, we will discuss some of the aspects of monitoring your database platform and what things can need to be monitored and what tools are available for monitoring. What I would like to discuss first are the requirements for monitoring your database environment, types of monitoring that need to be performed to ensure both maximum availability, optimal performance, as well as error-free operation. We'll also talk about what built-in as well as third-party tools are available for monitoring your database platform. Let's start by discussing monitoring availability. In monitoring availability, we want to make sure that our database is available at all times and that the application can access both the server, the instance, as well as the database itself. So there are a couple components that need to be monitored. There is the node or the server, so basically the operating system and the hardware that runs our database. There is a database server itself, the database instance itself, making sure that it accepts connections. Since in SQL Server there is no separate database listener, we essentially monitor the network connectivity to the entire database instance. And then finally, being able to monitor the database itself, whether it responds to our queries and whether it can be opened. These are the most important aspects of monitoring to ensure that the database remains available for our application to connect to. Another aspect of monitoring is monitoring errors. Various components within the database, various queries will often generate error messages. We want to be notified and know when certain types of failures or events occur. In Oracle, error messages have an error code that is the number that has a number and an error message. In SQL Server, it is similar. We also have unique message number and error message, but there is also so-called severity level, which indicates how serious and how severe that error message is, and error state number that can be used to identify source for the error or various subtypes of a particular error. SQL Server comes with a number of predefined errors that we can use and that will be generated by the database engine itself. In addition to that, we can also define and raise our own custom user-defined errors. This is very helpful if we want to issue errors from the business logic residing inside the database. So, for instance, from our stored procs, we would like to issue custom errors to the application. I will show you an example of that in just a few minutes. Errors are recorded in error logs. Oracle has alert file, and SQL Server uses a number of textual files called error logs. You can view them in SQL Server Management Studio, but you can also open them directly from the file system using any text editor. They are just normal text files to which SQL Server keeps appending informational messages as well as certain error messages. By default, SQL Server keeps the last six error log files. So there's a new error log file generated every time you restart your SQL Server engine. And SQL Server will keep six of those by default. So basically your last six restarts of the engine, there is a separate error log file for each of them, but you can also increase that number to up to 99. Another form of monitoring and capturing activity that occurs on our SQL Server is to use SQL Server Profiler or Extended Events Profiler and create traces to capture various information and various errors or events that we are interested in. You can also configure your user-defined error messages to be recorded in the error log file. Every time you raise an error, you can elect to record that error log in that error in the error log, as well as send it to the application. Many of the error messages and SQL Server informational messages are also recorded in the Windows application log, which can be viewed using Event Viewer from administrative tools on that server. So let me now show you how we can review the errors, the SQL Server error logs, and where you can find them. So in this demonstration, I will show you how we can see the error log using both the Management Studio as well as a normal Notepad editor from the system file. So, in order to view the error log, you want to open the Object Explorer, and under Management, there is a node called SQL Server Logs. As you can see, I have the current log as well as 6 archive logs available. I can open it in the log file viewer that is part of the Management Studio, and I get my error log output shown in the descending order. So basically, the newest messages are on top and the oldest messages are in the bottom. So what we can see here, we can, for instance, see that startup messages that were logged when the SQL Server was started, it reported its configuration, its service account, parameters that were passed into the SQL Server engine when it started, what is the hardware configuration, what are the CPU, etc., etc. And then it logged all the information as it went through setting up the databases, opening the databases, running recovery, etc., etc. So the first several lines in this error log are messages that are logged during startup. So up around here, SQL Server finished recovering all the system databases and was ready for connections. If there is any serious error that happens, this information will be recorded. So for instance, we have information here that my DBCC check DB on AdventureWorks failed, and the error log has information recorded about the fact that that there were 4 errors recorded or detected in the AdventureWorks database. All those every time I take a database backup, for instance, that information is also recorded in the error log. So this is the easiest way to see those error logs. You can also locate them in your log directory for that particular instance. So my instance 01 log directory. There is a separate text file for each error log. So if I open it in Notepad, you can see that this is the same information we have seen in the log file viewer. It's just ordered in the reversed order. So basically, in this case, we have the oldest messages on top, where the log file viewer showed us the most recent messages on top. It's just a text file, so it's easy to parse, easy to locate any interesting error messages in this file. So in this demo, I've shown you how we can locate and review SQL Server logs and those error log files, both using the Management Studio as well as where to find them in the file system and the log directory for your SQL Server instance. In the next demonstration, I would like to show you how you can use a custom user-defined error messages in order to raise your custom errors to the application, and also how you can handle those errors inside SQL Server. So how you can, for instance, catch any exceptions that are generated by your transact SQL code. So let's start by creating a custom error message and see how we can generate that error message and send it to the application. So you generate or you define an error message, a custom user-defined error message using spAddMessage storage proc. That storage proc allows you to add your own error message to the SysMessages catalog view. Generally, user-defined error messages in SQL Server have numbers starting above 50,000. So basically, the first 50,000 error numbers are reserved, and then your own user-defined messages are found or are use the numbers above 50,000. So in this case, I'm declaring a error message with number 50,010, severity 16, which is like a standard severity for a user error that can be corrected by the user. And the message text is substitution string, and then it uses a special placeholder where you can put any value. As you raise the error, your error message can be formatted, and such placeholder can be replaced with whatever string was passed to the error message. Essentially, you get customized or parameterized error messages. So let's create the error message, and now we can raise it using raise error statement. So I generate the error message by using raise error, specifying the message ID, severity, and state, and any potential substitution value that will be used inside the error message itself. So if I run it, I get a red error message in Management Studio here with the appropriate message number and level and the error message that says a substitution string and the value I have provided in my raise error statement. It is also possible to capture information about any error that might have occurred in your code by using the error, the at error global variable. It used to be that we would check the at error global variable every time we wanted to verify whether a particular operation generated error or not. So it was kind of a spaghetti code for error handling, where after each statement you would check the this global variable to ensure that the error whether the error occurred or not. So in this case, we are just showing how you can save the value of the error variable and global variable and use it later to, for instance, query the SysMessages table. So as you can see, I captured the fact that the error number was 50,010, and I retrieved the error message from SysMessages. So that's a simple example of just raising an error. But you can also capture your errors and handle them inside your SQL code. So here's an example of raising the very same error error message, but inside a try block. So SQL Server uses structured error handling that is found in many programming languages, both in .NET as well as in Java, where you have try block of protected code, the code that might generate some exception, some error message, and the catch block that is used to capture and handle any potential error message. So in this case, by capturing the error message using catch, I actually don't get the error message in the application. The application is not receiving the error message because this error message has been captured and handled on the SQL Server site. So we can only see the select from sysmessages that returned the definition of the error message. But the actual error message has been handled by this catch block. This is called structured error handling, and this is the preferred method for handling any errors inside SQL Server code. Another example is that we might want to create our own validation stored proc. So in this case, I would like to create a stored proc that is responsible for validating a text, and if the text that it validates is not equal to SQL Server 2012, then it will raise an appropriate error message, with this error message also being logged to the error log file. So in this case, this is a simple validation stored proc. The validation will raise an error if the validation fails, and I will wrap it into a try and catch block. I have a another stored proc called call system, and that stored proc is responsible for executing our little validator. And if something happens, we have this entire catch block that is responsible for extracting all the details of the error message. Notice how the variables here are used to get all the information about the error, error number, error message, error severity, state, etc., etc. All this information is captured using appropriate functions, and then it's all printed out to our application. So if I create this stored proc and then I run it, causing a validation error, we can see that that there's been the error message itself has been captured, and there was information returned to the application by this error handling code. We can of course also run the stored proc with something that will validate just fine, and no error message will be returned. So using raise error as well as try and catch are the typical ways, the most popular ways to retrieve the errors. Oh, by the way, I also wanted to show you that this error, since my stored proc used the with log option, that means that this error was also logged to our error log. We have an information that the message such and such was raised, but no message with that error number is actually found and defined in sysmessages, which means we are probably missing a error definition in sysmessages. We are essentially raising an unexisting non-existing error. So it's an error upon error. Okay, so in this demonstration you have seen how you can create your own custom error messages and how you can generate those errors using raise error as well as handle various exception and values errors using try and catch. Let's now talk a little bit about monitoring performance. Of course, we want to monitor performance and make sure that our SQL Server performs well. So we need to monitor query execution, and we need to monitor the amount of resources that are used by this server software. So we want to monitor CPU, the amount of memory, processes, etc., etc. The most popular tool for monitoring the resource usage are, of course, Task Manager. That is the easiest tool to perform ad hoc monitoring of our CPU and memory consumption. Performance Monitor, where we can use all the various counters from SQL Server. And then finally, Windows Explorer and Activity Monitor that is found in Management Studio. When it comes to monitoring database storage, we typically want to monitor the size of the database files, especially so for the transaction log file. As you know, SQL Server has one transaction log file that handles all the transaction logging activities, both redo and undo, and it is important to make sure that this file is under control and it doesn't grow too large and we're not eating too much space. So managing database storage in terms of making sure what are the file sizes, what is the percentage of the empty space in those file sizes, etc., etc. Also, monitoring for index fragmentation and making sure that our indexes are defragmented frequently is an important part of monitoring for performance. So on the database and instance level, you can monitor memory and especially what is the breakdown of that memory using various tools, various DMVs such as DMOS memory clerks or a DBCC command, DBCC memory status. You can see the breakdown of memory consumption and understand well where all that memory is going. Monitoring processes involves monitoring the threads that are executing our queries as well as any background processes. So understanding what's going on and if we're not running out of resources there. You can also monitor sessions and transactions, making sure how many sessions, how many database connections that are open at any given time, how many transactions those sessions are performing. And then finally, if you really want to get to the details, you may want to monitor locks and latches. Those concurrency structures will allow you to make sure that there is no extensive blocking happening between your processes. So if you see queries blocking each other, you may want to monitor locks and latches and blocking that is the effect of any concurrency contention. When it comes to monitoring tools, SQL Server has a number of monitoring tools readily available. These are tools that either come with SQL Server or are part of the Windows platform. The most important tools are Activity Monitor, available from the Management Studio, and you can easily see what's going on the server, what is the resource usage, and what queries are executed. It's a live monitoring tool. Performance Data Collector, that is used to gather certain execution statistics and certain information over time and store it in the management data warehouse. So those two components can be used to gather long-term statistics and see trends in resource usage on your server. DBCC commands such as DBCC memory status that can be used to see the breakdown of memory. A number of dynamic management objects, especially various DMVs that have to do with memory as well as execution. So knowing the activity and the impact of this activity. Other SQL Server tools include Extended Events, which is the new, very advanced tracing framework for SQL Server. Performance Monitor, so the Windows Performance Monitor and the counters that we can gather there. We can either see them on screen or we can log them to a file and record them to a file. And of course, SQL Server Agent that can be used not only to run jobs, but also monitor for alerts and send you information if a certain performance condition, for instance, is reached. SQL Profiler, and then finally SQL System Center Advisor. These are the most important tools that either come with Windows or with SQL Server and allow you to monitor your overall health of the database engine. There's also a number of third-party tools available for monitoring SQL Server and showing you all kinds of alerts. Probably the most popular of those is the Quest Software Spotlight for SQL. So let me now show you how we can use Activity Monitor from Management Studio. So in this short, simple demo, I will show you how to open the Activity Monitor in Management Studio and see the activity as it happens on the server. So you click on the instance node in Management Studio and choose Activity Monitor. Activity Monitor will automatically refresh every couple seconds. So every 10 seconds it will refresh and show us what is the situation, what is the resource usage on the server. So let's maybe run a few simple queries. 1, 2, 3, 4. And let's switch back to my Activity Monitor. And we can see that there has been some spike, not much, but there has been some spike in database activity, both in terms of the processor time, as well as in terms of the waiting tasks and the amount of database I/O performed. If I wanted to know details, I can open processes, I can open resource weights, and I can open data file I/O to see which database is the one that is most active. So this Activity Monitor tool can be used for everyday, up to the minute, ad hoc monitoring of the activity happening on our server. We can see top most most expensive queries. So recent expensive queries. We can see the I/O that is performed against the database files, etc., etc. It is very easy to see the activity using Activity Monitor. It's probably one of your easiest to use and easiest to access tools for SQL Server activity monitoring. So in the next demonstration, I would like to show you how you can use SQL Server Agent to create an alert that could be used to automate certain monitoring tasks. I would like to have an alert that could be used to either run a job or notify my DBA whenever a certain performance condition is met. What will be that performance condition, of course, depends on your situation. But in this case, in this scenario, I would like to set an alert every time there is a blocked process. So if I have processes blocked, I encounter some blocking inside SQL Server, I would like the alert to fire and maybe send an email to my DBA. So in order to do that, on my server, I'm going to use a SQL Server agent alerts. And in those alerts, I will create a new alert. And notice that alerts can be various types. The most popular alerts that can be generated in SQL Server agent include a SQL Server event alert. That means that the SQL Server agent will react and generate alert whenever it encounters a particular error message. So if I had an error message that is recorded to the error log file and it has number 50,010, for instance, every time I encounter this error message, there's this alert would fire, and it can either run a stored proc, or it could be, or it could send some notification. But in this case, I would like to base my alert not on a single event and not on a single error message, but on a performance condition alert. So essentially, I want to watch the value of the performance counter, and whenever this performance counter goes out of the range of acceptable values, I would like to generate the alert. So in this case, the performance counter that I would like to use is in category general statistics, and it's called processes blocked. There is just one instance of this object, so we don't have to specify anything here. And I want alert if the value rises above zero. So whenever there is more than zero blocked processes, whenever there is a process blocked, I would like this this alert to be fired. Now let's call this alert blocked process alert. And in response to this alert occurring, we could either execute a particular job, maybe detecting and killing the head blocker, for instance, or I could notify operators. So send an email or a pager message to one of the DBAs. In this case, I'm not going to create a response. I just want the alert to be there so that I can see whenever the alert occurred. So now the only thing I have to do is to create a blocking situation that would increase my blocked processes counter above zero. That shouldn't be too difficult, so I'm going to quickly run those two queries. And one query performs a transaction, or opens a transaction, then sleeps for 20 seconds while the other one is waiting. So now I have a blocking situation where this query right here is blocking the other query. They will very likely end up in a deadlock since they are updating. There you go. It was a deadlock, just like I predicted. They were updating the same rows in opposite order. As part of this scenario, of course, I now had blocked process alert generated because I had a situation where my blocked processes, the counter, was more than zero. So I can see that there's been a one occurrence of this alert. And what would be the response to this alert? That depends on you. It might be running some job inside a SQL Server agent, or it might also be generating a notification, an email, for instance, for your DBA. Using alerts is one of the best options for monitoring SQL Server. It allows you to be proactive and make sure that you don't have to have an ongoing, constant monitoring. You can also get notified only when a particular performance condition or a particular error message takes place. So in this module, we've discussed various methods and tools that are available for monitoring your SQL Server environment for high availability, performance, and error-free operation. Thank you very much for watching SQL Server Essentials for Oracle DBAs, and I hope those videos will help you in becoming a bilingual DBA.